Well, I'm glad we don't have anybody else to tell. We can tell it to the Lord. And so many times He is the only one that can help us in the needs that we have and the situations that come into our life. And all of us have those problems, problem areas. And I'm glad we can talk to the Lord about those needs that we have. If you would tonight, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, a couple of weeks ago we started, brought a message along the line of what motivates us to serve the Lord. And I wasn't planning on getting into a lot of two or three, four messages along that line, but I think it's important that we understand that serving the Lord for the child of God is the most important thing that we have in our life. There's a lot of things that take place in our lives, but serving Him should be preeminent in everything that we do. Many times it is not, but that we should have that desire in our heart that we would serve Him. And I gave you some four or five different reasons of why that we are motivations. I think we called it motivations why we are to serve the Lord. And we talked about the condition of the lost. We talked about the cross of Jesus Christ. We talked about the closing of our life. We come down to the end of life. It is very important that we have served the Lord, and we are very acquainted with that enemy that's around all of us, that enemy that the Scripture calls death. We had a funeral last week, a funeral this week, and so once again it brings us to our attention that life is fleeting. And we are living, and we never know when we're going to leave this world. And so we talked about motivations for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. In that message, I mentioned some things that ought to motivate us. And I mentioned this thing of the crowns that are mentioned in the Scripture. We're going to try to get that far tonight and at least give you some introduction for that and get some more material together for next Wednesday. And last Wednesday night we talked about Christian joy. If we serve the Lord, we're going to have joy in our heart. The joy that passes all understanding, the joy that the world does not have and certainly does not know anything about. And we looked at Romans chapter number 6 where we dealt with some words there that help us to have the joy. One of the words was that we are to know some things. We can put our trust in some things that are very important, to trust in the Lord, what we serve Him with. We are to reckon ourselves. That is, means to be calculated, or to understand that we are dead to self, should be dead to self and alive unto Him. Then we are to yield our bodies, yield our lives, and to obey the work of the Lord. And those are things that brings us up to the message tonight that we deal with, and it's a twofold message if we can get that far. And it's a message concerning where we go when we die, when we stand before the Lord, what takes place, and then those rewards that God gives to the child of the Lord. Now the Bible speaks of five different crowns. And those crowns they have a title, they have a name to them, and they mean and represent different facets of our lives. But I know I believe the Scripture teaches that there's much more to serving the Lord than just receiving those five crowns. The Bible talks about rewards, plural, that we can have and have abundance of those things because of our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we leave this world, we will stand before the Lord. I want us to read in chapter number 3 of 1 Corinthians. This gives us, now I mentioned it just a little bit last Wednesday, and the whole chapter deals with this subject of having the rewards of life for the child of God, for the believer. I want us to read these 23 verses. It won't take too long. But all the verses and the sections have something to do with this thing of having rewards from the Lord. So Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, to a people that have needs in their life. The church of Corinth probably was the most carnal church that's mentioned in the scripture. It had a lot of internal problems, had a lot of internal sin. And Paul writes 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians to deal with that church problems that they had. And he talks about some of that even in these verses tonight. But in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll begin reading and read down through verse number 23. Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not yet carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." So Paul is dealing with this subject of the reward that God will give to us. Verse number 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him God shall destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise of his own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." In these verses here, in those first 6 or 7 verses, Paul gives a scathing termination of their way of life. He tells them that they are carnal. Now there's two types of people in this world, that's saved people and lost people. There are two types of saved people, that's spiritual and carnal. Now, the carnal man doesn't necessarily mean the lost man. A carnal man is a Christian that has not grown and has not come to a full adult understanding of the things of the Word, and there are many reasons for that. And Paul tells this church here, he says, "I cannot even talk to you as spiritual because ye are carnal." Some 3 or 4 times Paul uses that word when he's dealing with this church, and he calls them a carnal. That just means that they're very unkept, and they are not, have not grown, they have not matured in the way that the Lord would have them to be, and they are people that are following after men. Paul deals with that subject here when he talks about Apollos and himself. He says there's some of you that are following Apollos, and you say whatever he says is well. And he said there's some of you that are following Paul or himself, because these are people, these are preachers that had been very influential in the lives of these Corinthian people, probably had led them to the Lord, and they had set them up as two different entities that they were going to follow. When Paul says, we are nothing, he said, we are just ministers of the Lord. He said, carnality will bring you to the point of following the ways of men instead of the ways of God. And he deals with this this subject all the way through on this chapter, even in those latter verses that we read. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. Some have set themselves up as having wisdom in their heart. And he says he knows them. He said, but it is God that gives the increase. And he deals with this thing of rewards, laboring, in verse number 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward. You and I tonight, we need to understand that you're going to receive your reward, and I'm going to receive mine. We'll not be the same. It'll be different things that the Lord will use in our hearts and our lives. There's different things that we will take heed to that will help us. And then there are things that we will not do that we should do that will have us to suffer some of the rewards and the loss of those rewards. He deals with that in those verses that we read tonight. There's a foundation that is there. Thank God tonight the foundation is not laid by man. The foundation is Jesus Christ himself. And so I want us to just for a little while tonight look at this that's called the judgment seat or the judgment of God upon the believers. Then the word judgment, we sometimes say, oh, I don't want to be judged. Well, it's just a reckoning day that he knows our works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. He knows our ways, whether they're good or bad. And it's just a time when we are examined by the Lord. The judgment seat of Christ, that really is what he's speaking of here in these verses that we read here in 1 Corinthians 3. There's a period of judgment. There's a specific time that this judgment will take place. I believe it will be right after we are taken out of this world, after the rapture. I believe we'll meet with the Lord. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 2 says, after this, John says, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. Now the next portion of the verse says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So immediately when we leave this world, which we believe is the rapture, the Lord comes in the air, he calls us, we go to be with him. The Bible tells us the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together forever to be with them in the air. And there's a time of judgment that God brings, and there's a period of time that the Lord brings judgment upon the child of God. Now the judgment seat of Christ is for only believers. As I said a couple of weeks ago, maybe even last week, when we get to the judgments of the Lord and we have that bad thought, that bad sense about God's going to get me for those things, and that's not what it's all about. But when we come to the judgment of the Lord, it is a time when God looks at our lives. Really, he makes us look at our lives because he knows our lives, and he makes us to be understanding of where we had our faults and our failures. And it's called the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10 talks about the judgment seat of Christ. And there's other places in Corinthians and Romans that talks about the place that is called the judgment, or the word is bema. It's like a judgment hall. God there, and we stand before him. And it's the judgment seat in the presence of God's throne. And that's what John said when he came to the place of heaven. He stood before, immediately, he says, in the Spirit. and stood before the throne that was in heaven. Well, we know who sits on the throne, and so therefore we stand before him. The person of this judgment is certainly important, and I believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us there in Revelation 4:2 that he's in the presence he that sat upon the throne. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 5, the elder said, "Weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals." Now, we studied that almost a year ago, probably has been a year ago now, there in Revelation chapter 5. And he is in the Spirit, and the one that is there in the center focal point of heaven is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's a title of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Root of David. He is the offspring of David. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we must all stand before him. And so we understand there's a period of time, there's a place, and he's the person that we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus. And then we are the participants. We are the ones that are there to be examined. Maybe that's a better word than judge sometimes in our thinking. We're going to be examined, not for the Lord to find out about us, for he knows about us. It's for it to be revealed to us whether we excelled in serving him or whether we failed, whether we went good or whether we didn't go as good as we should have. And not everything is bad about judgment or examination, because there's rewards that are going to be given. There's going to be those rewards that will be given to those that will that show they have served the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the participants. Romans 14:10 says we shall all stand before him. There's not going to be one Christian missing. There's not going to be one person out of place. We're going to all stand before him. 1 Corinthians 3, where we read tonight, verse 7 through 9, then neither is he that planteth anything. I mean, we're going to stand there before God all equal. We're not anything. Neither is he that watereth, but it's God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according, now notice the important part here, according to his own what? Labor, what he does. The work that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to reward us with the blessings that we will enjoy of heaven. It's the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, just as Romans chapter 14:10 says we must all appear before the judgment seat or the bema seat of Jesus Christ. This is not the judgment for the sinner. This is for the believer. We are the recipients. We are the participants of this particular time together. And the purpose of this is that so man, every man may give an account of himself. God's going to, it's going to be a solemn occasion. I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat. And I'm not looking forward to having to give an account. And the Bible says sometimes the idle thoughts of our minds, that the Lord will make us give an account for that. He'll bring those back to our attention. And so judgment is not easy and judgment is not fun. But the good part of judgment is that when God finds something that's worthy to be rewarded, then he's faithful and he's just and he will reward us for all those things. Now, this judgment, or neither one of the judgment, there's two judgments. There's so much material, there's no way of getting through it all. There's two judgments, one's for the lost. We'll study that this coming Sunday night when we're in Revelation chapter 20. It's called the Great White Throne. That's for the lost. No saved will be there. And this judgment tonight, the judgment seat of Christ, no lost will be there. And this does not determine these judgments. I want to make sure you understand these judgments do not determine where you spend eternity. Where you spend eternity is determined right here on this side in life. Where you spend your eternity is not determined on a judgment. It's determined because he was judged at Calvary, and we trust him. We believe upon him. We have him as our personal Savior, and he saves us in the here and now. The rejection of Jesus Christ is in the here and now. And so what we do with the Lord now will determine which judgment we go to. It does not determine where we spend eternity, but it determines where we will stand before the Lord. And so this judgment is given to us, and it's going to be a time of revealing. Trying to lay the groundwork. We may not get to all the rewards tonight, because I believe this is very important to lay the groundwork, what we're talking about, and to understand it. It's going to be a time of revealing. Verse number 9 here we read, "For we are laborers together." It's about our work. Now, we Baptists, we are very strong, and we are very vocal that we do not believe in works. Sometimes we take it too far, because we should say we do not believe in works for salvation, but we better believe in some works. We better believe in some labor if we want to receive the rewards that God has given to us. Now, our works don't take us to heaven. Jesus does that. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. But after he saves us, then we ought to have a desire in our heart. We ought to serve him. That's our labor together. And Paul uses that terminology here with Corinthian church. "For we are laborers together." Paul and Apollos and whoever else it might have been, we are laborers together with God. And he says, we are God's husband, or we're God's people, and we're his building. And according to the grace of God, Paul always identifies salvation because of grace. "Because of the grace, according to the grace of God, which is given to me," he said, "I lay a foundation, another buildeth thereupon, but let every man take heed." Be careful how you build on a foundation. The foundation, as we said last week, the foundation can be bad and the building be good, and you've got a problem. But you can have a good foundation and build a bad house on it, and you've still got a problem. So you need to have a good foundation, and we know that that is none other than Jesus Christ, verse 11. So we have a good foundation to build upon, and are laborers together. We tonight, as believers here in this congregation right now, we are laborers together. We ought not to strive against each other. Paul tells this church here, he said, you've got a problem, and he said you have strife and division, and he says that's because you're carnal. You're not spiritual. You're not thinking on spiritual terms. You're thinking about what I can get and what I can gain in this life. And so when we stand before the Lord, it's going to be every man's works and every man's rewards. What you get will be different than what I get, and what I get may be different than what you get, and some of what we get may be the same. And I believe we ought to work hard to serve the Lord. I believe we ought to be jealous for those rewards that God has for us. I believe we ought to desire, because one day we're going to give them back to him. And we'll see that a little later in the in the messages. So it's a time of revealing. It's going to reveal our motives. Why do we do what we do? Why do we accomplish what we accomplish? What's the motivation behind us? That was the first message, motivations for serving Christ. What's the motivations for building on our foundation? Why are we doing what we're doing? Is it in order to better ourselves? Is it in order to make a name for us? Is it in order that we might feed our pride? And we can all do that. And by the way, we all do that. We're guilty of that. But why do we serve the Lord? And the motivation is that we are to serve him because of his blessings for us. Paul says there in verse 7, "So then neither is he that planteth anything." Paul said, Apollos planted, or I planted, and the other one watered. He said, the one that planted, he's nothing. And neither is he that watereth. He's nothing. What are we? We're just servants of the Lord. It doesn't matter I'm glad I got saved, and I know the individual that led me to Christ. And I know the particulars about my personal salvation, just as you know the particulars about yours. But he is no more important than somebody else that came along and helped me to learn and helped me to grow and helped me to do things in the Lord. God uses us in different ways and different times with different people. And so Paul says, who are we? One just waters, one plants it, and one puts the water to it. But it is God that gives the increase. And so our motivation is that we should be serving him because of his blessings upon us. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. That's how we are serving the Lord. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. This time of revealing will be a time of showing our motivation, showing our ways, showing the materials. If any man build on this foundation, the foundation that God has laid, Paul says we're going to build on the foundation. Now there's six divisions here. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. That's how we can build. I read not too long ago, is it maybe possible? And I know this is just surmising. Is it maybe possible that the Lord has said he has gone to prepare a place for us? And the writer that I was reading, he said, is it possible maybe that the Lord is using the material that we're sending him to build our place? It could be wood, hay, and stubble, or it could be gold, silver, and precious stone. Maybe God is using, maybe the Lord's using what we're sending on. But we certainly are using the material that is here available. And the scripture says that in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19, he says, lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, I'd rather have gold and silver and precious stones, as I had a pile of wood and a pile of sand and some things to me that's not too good. Wood, hay, and stubble. Those things will deteriorate. They'll decay. They'll be blown away. They'll be burned up because the fire of God's judgment will do that. And so we are to lay up our treasures in heaven where moth and rust doesn't corrupt it. And thieves can't break through and steal it. And that's the time that God has given to us that we can build upon that foundation. I'm putting things out of order tonight, and I'm doing my last page second instead of last. It's a time of revealing, and then secondly, it's a time of regretting. Stand before the Lord. How God will bring those things up to us, I do not know. Whether it be just in our memories or where he will little by little and tell us or bring it all in one moment, I do not know. But it's going to be revealing to us of our life. Now, we all, don't get me wrong on this now, we all are like play actors. Now, the word for that in the New Testament is hypocrite. We play a part. We want everybody to look at us and think we're doing pretty good. We want everybody to say, they're spiritual. They love the Lord. But you know who knows my heart? I know my heart. And I know somebody else that knows my heart. And he's the one that's going to be judging me one day. And I'm afraid there's going to be some times and there's going to be some regrets because of some actions that were not right. All of us have wrong actions. We have wrong, I hate to say it, attitudes. I try to work on my attitude, but boy, sometimes it's just not good. Get up some mornings, it's just not a good attitude, not a good day. Not going to be a good day. Best thing to do, just cover up and don't get up. Because your attitude is bad before you've had a bad dream or a bad night. Something's gone wrong and you wake up, you just don't feel good. Well, I'm going to stand before the Lord with my attitudes and my actions. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 18 and 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. What comes out of my mouth is a result of my attitude and the result of my heart. The things that I do, the things that I say, it has a the seed of it is not out here in the world. It's not the wicked world we live in that causes us trouble. It's not the TV program that's wicked that we watch. It's not those. It's the heart that's within us, the soul of man that is by nature against God. But thank the Lord, He has saved us and made us a new creature. But sometimes our actions, sometimes our attitude, it says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. That's in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 and 19. Out of the heart comes those things. The heart is desperately wicked, Jeremiah says, and who can know it? And so the heart of man is what guides man. It's sort of the part of the ship that moves us to the right and to the left and pushes us forward or holds us back. I'm going to have a time of regretting because of sometimes my apathy. We all know what that word means. We just don't care. Have you ever got to that point? About every Friday evening, sometimes I just don't care. And then Monday morning, do I really care? And all the things that go on in life, sometimes we just get to the point, I just don't care. And that's a problem of life. And God's going to bring those things up. It's going to be a time of regrets. It's going to be because sometimes our acquaintances, the Bible says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. Too many times we join up with them instead of reproving. Because of our abilities, God has given us all certain talents. God gives us all something that we can do. Somebody says, I don't know why I can't do anything. Yes, you can. God gives us ability. God talks about it, the Lord talks about it in the New Testament. Some man had 10 talents, one man had 5, one man had 2, one man had 1. But everybody had a talent. Everybody had an ability. It's what we do with it. It's how we work it. It's how we serve the Lord. Our abilities, our ambitions. Sometimes we're going to, I believe we'll regret some of our life because of our ambitions being wrong. The Bible tells us we can't serve two masters. We hate one, love the other. Or we'll grab hold of one and we'll do away with the other. It's our ambitions. The list could go on and on. I mean, it could just go totally on and on and on of how we may have regrets. Oh, but the other side of it, we're going to have rewards. The regrets will be there. And in heaven, I believe the tears will be there. I believe there will be tears at this judgment. Somebody said, well, I thought the Bible said there would be no more tears in heaven. That's a little later on. That's after the other judgment. And so, but the Bible does say that He's going to wipe them away. Thank the Lord. The tears will be gone. The joys will be there. The former things of life are over, and now we're in the very blessing of heaven. And so it's going to be it's a time of looking. It's a time of being revealed. It's a time of regretting. Oh, but my goodness, it's going to be a time of rewarding. You never end on a low note. Now, if we stop right there where we are right now, that's not too good. I mean, we're on the low note there. It's a time of regrets. Think in your own life, since you've been a Christian, is there anything that you regret? Don't tell me. Is there anything in your Christian life that you know of that you regret? Both hands go up. Sure we do. Even though those things are forgiven, we regret maybe something we said or something we did, some attitude we had, some evil thought. Well, maybe just ought to say what the Scripture said, some wicked thought. There's been people that we have problems with, and things get out of kelter and out of shape. And it happens to all of us. Happens to preachers just like everybody else. Time of regret. Oh, but thank the Lord, it's going to be a time of rewards. The Bible says in verse number 14, if any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now the rewards are numerous. There are five specific crowns that the Bible tells us about. And I'm not going to have time to go into all those. I'll tell you what they are. And maybe you can look them up and do some study. And we'll try to, next Wednesday, we'll go through those crowns. But there's five specific crowns the Lord says that he's going to give to people. Now, not everybody can have them all. Not everybody will get them all. And they're specific crowns for some specific areas of life. But it's going to be a reward. This aspect of the judgment seat of Christ, a lot of people are confused about it. But these folks that are confused about it is because they don't understand what eternity is all about. Somebody said, well, I don't want to be less than somebody else in heaven. Don't worry about that. We're all going to be equal in heaven. Because one of these days, and that'll be next week, one of these days we'll give them back to him. And we'll all stand there crownless, rewardless. We'll all be there only for one reason, and that's by the wonderful grace of God. And so that's where we're headed. But there are five crowns. I'm going to give you the titles to them that's found in the scripture. One of them is called the crown of life. One of them is called the crown of glory. One is called the crown of rejoicing. One is called the crown of righteousness. One is called the crown of incorruption, or the incorruptible crown. That's the terminology the scripture uses, and we'll look at those next week, those five specific crowns that God is going to reward his people with, not in order for us to go to heaven. Oh, thank God, it's because we're already there. And he examines us, and he looks at us, and he sees us. And there's going to be a whole lot of things burn away. Wood, hay, and stubble. It doesn't last the test. You put hay and you put wood, and you know what stubble is. It's just rake your yard and that's what you've got. Those things burn up. Those things deteriorate. Those things are gone. But we build it a whole lot in our life on that. But he's going to examine every man's work to see what it is. And he's going to find out if it's wood. He's going to find out if it's hay. He's going to find out if it's stubble. He's going to find out if it's gold, silver, precious stones. He's going to find out. And the only thing that lasts are the good things. Because the judgment of the Lord, the fire of God, he's going to reveal it, then he's going to take it away. Our tears will be gone, and we'll be forever with the Lord. So those five crowns, I believe, are specific crowns, but they're not all the rewards. My goodness, I believe there's a multitude of rewards that we can get. And God, the Lord gives us five and gives us titles to them, and we can see what they are. So I really wanted to try to get into all that, but there's just too much material, and your mind won't stay awake that long. My voice won't last that long. And so we'll do it again next Wednesday. I gave you the five: crown of life, crown of glory, crown of rejoicing, crown of righteousness, and the incorruptible crown. And so we'll look at each one of those next Wednesday night and say, praise the Lord. He's going to give us reward. He's going to give us good things after all the dross, after all the wood, hay, and stubble has been consumed. Then we have rewards. And it'll be a great day. Be a wonderful day there in heaven. Let's stand together.